Dear friends, in complete dependence upon my God, it pleased the Lord to help us this morning to look into his holy word. In the chapter we read in John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. The Gospel recorded by St. John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear friends, as we come to the house of God this morning, we come now and are gathered before the God that we have read of. For God so loved the world, and you and I make up part of the world, the inhabitants of the earth. But what do we know of the God of the Word of God? Friends, are we this morning a believer in the Lord God of heaven? Amongst those who have been promised here in this verse, everlasting life, which is eternal life, procured through the birth and through the death and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his beloved Son. There is, right down through this earth, there never has been a dividing line. Those who believe and those who do not believe. And the word of God is exceeding and abundantly clear. Here in these verses, of those who shall have everlasting life, and of those who shall perish. The word of God is very clear. Perish, dear soul, means to eternally perish. When we die and leave this earth, when we are no more here, that is not the end. Eternity begins the moment we have drawn our last breath. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So therefore, sin came into the world by one man. In Adam, we are all fallen. You know well that account of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, which sin entered the world when they took of that tree which they were told not to touch, nor to take and to eat. But they disobeyed the word of God. You You and I this morning have been born into this world as a sinner. You may not like that. You may feel uncomfortable that you are called a sinner. Friends, we were born in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. And therefore, because we are sinners, we will be amongst those, if we are not accounted to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, will perish. Unpardoned sin at the end of our life, dear friends, means eternal banishment from God. Did also consider to read that most solemn chapter in the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 25 that begins with the virgins, the 10 virgins. The 5 were wise, the 5 were foolish. But if you read the end of that chapter, or the eternal separation of the sheep and the goats. The goats, those who are unbelievers, those who are sinners, who are hardened in their sin and will not believe in the God of heaven. But friends, God so loved the world that he gave this great, this wondrous gift of his dearly beloved Son. God so loved the world, so many in the world will say, how can God be a God of love? If he allows this to happen and that to happen, this tragedy, this accident, this great calamity, they want to blame somebody. And the very first person or one that they would want to blame is God for perhaps stirring up their life, perhaps making them uncomfortable, perhaps taking something away. And yet their hearts are hardened. They are so blind. They have to blame God, because their opinions are so blinded by the devil. We live in a blame culture. How sad and how solemn. And they know not this dear man, whom God sent, even his dear, dear Son, his only begotten Son. Now if we take at the beginning of this text, for God so loved the world. Friends, the word of God does not say, for God loved the world. It's so greatly emphasized with that little word, so. For God so loved the world. So great, so tremendous was the love of God that he gave this great gift, this wondrous gift. We read this unspeakable gift. So great, so wondrous, and so unspeakable is the love of God to give his Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Now, we spoke of that perishing. Perhaps to begin with, perhaps you may think, perhaps a little early, but how does that speak to your heart, to your soul this morning, friend? We have those that are saved and those that are lost. Those that are lost, those that are found, those who are believers and those who are unbelievers. A dividing line, a line that will divide right down through this land, right down through this world. Friends, there is that. eternal and final separation. As I said, the sheep and the goats, it's very clear, it leaves nothing to your and my imagination. It's abundantly clear, friend. What is it to be lost? What is it to be perished? Let's begin there. It's to enter into eternal night, eternal punishment, the eternal wrath of God that will never, ever, ever end. It cannot end because it is eternal. We have an eternal God. Our God, who has that sovereign right to do that which he pleases. Friends, my attention has just been taken by a most beautiful rainbow. And I mentioned that. Friends, the sovereign sign that God set in the cloud, that he is God, and that he would no more flood the earth. It's truly touched my heart, because you know, back in the days of Noah, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was one that God told to build that ark. And he built that ark. How did he build that ark? In obedience. In faith to his God, who told him exactly how to do it. Exactly where to do it. Out of what materials to do it. How it should be constructed, that it might save those 8 human lives and those animals and the creatures that God purposed that should go into the ark. Now, we have a rainbow in the sky. God's promised that he would no more flood the earth. But God flooded that earth at that time because of the gross wickedness that abounded in the earth. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Friends, they may have heard him, but they did not listen. They would take no notice. How could that ark be for the saving of souls? How could this God send down water from heaven and bring it up from the earth to flood the earth? How could that ark float without water? Nothing is impossible with God. Remember that, dear friend. Nothing. Yes, even the mass destruction of that earth at that time. None of them could have thought it possible that every single human life would be taken except for the 8. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons and their wives would go into the ark. Friends, there was an appointed time when they had to go into the ark. Go thou into the ark. But there was one thing that Noah could not do. And God shut the door of the ark. They were shut in safety. No water would be able to come through that door. It could never leak because God shut them in. They were promised safety. And friends, when God promises, he never fails. He will never, ever let one down. The eternal God is his people's refuge. And that place in the ark was a refuge, a place of safety. And outside of the ark every soul, men, women, and children, they perished. Now you may have read of the story of Noah. You may have heard it many times. But friends, there will be another day when the Lord Jesus Christ shall return again to this earth. It's solemn, my dear friends, to hear of these things, perhaps even to know about them in your head. And yet they've never touched your heart. You may have come to chapel for many, many times. The servants of the living God have stood here in this place. You've heard them preach like Noah. And it's had none effect, none good effect. You have not heard. Perhaps may feel and think you'll put it off for another day when you're older, when it's more suitable for you, more convenient for you in your life. Friends, you may have a list of things you need to tick off and do in your life. You may not come to that day you have purposed to put aside all the things of time and concentrate and think about the eternal destination of your never dying soul. It is not just our chapel going. It is not about what we do. Those things in themselves are good. It's not the way we look, the way we dress. Dear friends, are we a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Those are they that are promised eternal life. Those are promised eternal salvation in the Son of God. Believers, and only those that are believers. Outward things do not save us. Outward things, gender pride. And there is no room for pride in heaven. There is no room for pride in the worship of God. Humble souls that seek salvation. Where? In the Lamb's redeeming blood. The Son of God came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek and save, dear friends, those who are perishing, dying. And this great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, we read in Ephesians 2 verse 4. Dead in our sins. There you have it. Yes, we have our natural life. We have our natural beings. Outwardly. But inwardly, we are born dead. Jesus said unto Nicodemus, we've read it this morning, ye must be born again. How can a man be born a second time? How can he enter into his mother's womb? We know it is totally and completely impossible. Except a man be born of the Spirit of God. That wonder of wonders. That is the love of God to a sinner. And an undeserving sinner at that. We don't deserve the least of God's mercies. We do not deserve God's love. We do not deserve God's favour. We do not deserve God's grace. They are gifts. Wondrous gifts, precious gifts. But there was that day of reckoning when the ark floated upon the waters, and those that were outside of the ark perished. The horror in that great day that awaited them, they then became aware of the water coming down from heaven, the waters coming up from the depths beneath. And they would have gradually seen that ark floating, rising upon the water. And they that were in the water perished eternally. Friends, we cannot lay it more solemnly. It is only the word of God, the voice of the living God, the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. We can speak as God leads us, as God helps us. But are your spiritual ears and eyes open this morning? Trust and pray that God will even awaken sinners this morning to the sinner's doom. Because as those died then, in that great flood, they died eternally. And at the end of our days, when it should be said of us that we are no more, where, oh where, oh where will we be spending eternity? Do we have a hope in Christ Jesus our Lord, the Son of the living God, the Son whom God gave to save this perishing, dying world? Or are we an unbeliever? Friends, there's nothing in the centre that we could call ourselves. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Ye cannot. For either we will love the one and hate the other. Otherwise we will hold to the one and not to the other. So therefore, we cannot be called anything other than those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is that promise that they will be saved. Safety in Christ. Safety in the ark of Christ. As were those that were inside the wooden ark, that ark of gopher wood. They were safe. Those that were outside perished. Stand before you this morning, before our God. With his most solemn and yet most blessed word. It's a wondrous word to those that believe. But oh, may it be an awakening voice to the dead. 'Tis alone the voice of Almighty God that awakes the dead. We in and of ourselves can do nothing to save a single soul. But it is by the foolishness of preaching, by the poverty of our poor preaching, and we have to acknowledge that before God. And yet, it is the word to the Lord's servant, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And we trust and we humbly believe this morning that God has sent his word. He does not give a word for no reason, dear friends. Whether it be a word of warning or a word of comfort, a word of strengthening to the weak, A word of healing to the sick. This morning, we have that which has rested upon us as we have come here into the pulpit with the perishing. Am I made a real Christian? What a question. In that hymn we sing, am I? Again, you may have sung it. But did you just sing it? And it meant nothing to you. Am I made a real Christian? In other words, dear friends, would you just label yourself as a Christian and hope perhaps that's good enough? To say, yes, I go to chapel, I go to such and such a place, I do this and I do this and I do this. And hope that that will be good enough. And yet there has never been that confession of your sin before God. That kneeling down in contrition at the throne of grace. To confess your sin. He is able and just to forgive sin. And dear friends, that is what we so greatly desire among the congregations, among the nations. Those that are brought to a God-given knowledge to see who they are, truly are, really are in the sight of God. We can cover ourselves up, can't we? We can make ourselves look like anybody else. We can perhaps fool one another, make others to think what we are and who we are. But God seeth the heart. God knoweth who we are and what we are. He knows where you are. He knows what your thoughts are right now concerning this most solemn subject of the eternal destination of your never dying soul, friend. And we say these things in real love. They come forth in love. We would not want to see or know of a single soul who's heard these things declared to enter into a never-ending eternity outside of Christ. Am I made a real Christian? And it so expresses that hymn, am I made? To be made a Christian, not to make ourselves a Christian. Am I made a real Christian? Washed in the Redeemer's blood. There we have the remedy. There we have the great sickness. That uncurable, incurable sickness of sin. But Jesus made a way through his most wondrous death. The depths he went through to save our souls from death and hell. What he passed through, no tongue can tell. To save our souls from death and hell. The Gospel of Matthew. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Dear friends, what a word. It is all of Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus Christ to sinners. This is God's great wondrous gift to mankind upon the earth, to save a people that shall form that great eternal throng in glory, to sing the eternal Redeemer's praise, to be there amongst that great number whom no man can number in eternity. Eternal joy, eternal peace, eternal bliss. For God so loved the world. Dear friends, can we begin just to see a little of the great love of God this morning to rescue ruined, fallen rebels, sinful rebels from a never-ending eternity perishing outside of God. But God made this way, this wondrous way to save fallen mankind, to save the lost. He came. We read that little, sweet little verse, don't we? Precious verse. The end of the account of Zacchaeus. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And friends, there it is. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Is it a sweet sound to you this morning? A joyful sound. The grace of God. The love of God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound to such a wretch as I. And that's where we have to begin. To know ourselves as a wretch before God. Not proud and arrogant. Look what I've attained. Look what I've got. Look what I've done. But that humble soul that seeks salvation. To see ourselves as a wretch. A fallen, undone wretch before God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Lost and found. A real Christian and a not a real Christian. There's a separation, dear friends. And as we come and have to come to a close for this morning, may God grant each one of us much prayer this lunchtime, much seeking Almighty God this lunchtime, and bring us back exceeding prayerful this afternoon to hear what the Lord God would say. For we have to come into the pulpit utterly dependent upon what God will give. And friends, may there be many prayers. Ascend to the throne of grace. And may you be those that are privileged to know your prayer answered, to have heard your prayer heard first, and to know your prayer answered. Dear friends, may we come seeking Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. May he bring us back this afternoon with those eager hearts to hear what the Lord God would say unto us. It's a personal salvation. It is your soul, dear friend, that will stand before God. Your soul. None other can help in that great and that tremendous day. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Or may we come there, looking alone unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He who humbled himself even to the death of the cross, and for that joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God, there forever to intercede, to hear the prayers of his people. Dear friend, may our prayers ascend to our God. Oh, that the Lord would gather us together in his fear and in his name this afternoon to hear what God would say unto the churches. He who hath an ear, let him hear, let her hear what God would say unto the churches. The Lord help us each. The Lord be with us each. Amen.